This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Glad to be back with you on the Embracing Change podcast. We are going to continue our discussion that we started last episode. We talked about what is change. So today we're going to be talking about a challenging part of change, and that is preparation and transition. I'm expectant as far as this episode, because I think this is going to be pivotal for a lot of folks who are wanting to change certain aspects of their life. So to actually prepare for that and to get into that transition, that's going to be a little bit of work.
So that is where the work is.
Yeah.
That is the work.
Absolutely.
It's like going to school and you're preparing for a test. What do you have to do? Study. Preparation is studying. And so, yeah, transition is having the ability to move from one position or state to another. And, you know, preparation is making ready or give great consideration. So if you're not willing to count the costs, again, because I am a Christian and I've said that, I'm a woman of faith. I think about a scripture, Luke 14:28-30. And it talks about before you build a house, you should count the cost. What are you willing to give up in order to obtain what you see and what you desire? Because a lot of us want something different, but most of us are not willing to prepare for what it's going to cost us to really obtain it.
So what do you think the first step is in preparation to kind of get ready to do the transition?
I think the biggest thing is to really look at your internal focus, you. I think when you talk about external stuff, we can always get distracted, because to me, external shapes your worldview or your perspectives, but internal is a discipline of things that you have to focus on for you. So I think preparation is really going into that ability or that discipline. And I'm just going to give, I remember just wanting to be a better, not even better, how about, I wanted to develop greater listening skills, because I am a talker. I love to talk. I am a out loud processor. I like to talk it out, even when I'm talking to God or when I'm processing, or I like to hear myself say it. Even as I'm preparing to change something, I need to, you know, like hear myself say, commit myself out of words. And now I realize more and more, because again, my faith, He spoke and it was. And so preparation sometimes is just speaking what it is you desire. And so when I wanted to prepare to be a better listener, I remember thinking how difficult that was going to be. But what I had to do was internally begin to focus on my inside mind, my inside brain, my inside piece of my brain called the hippocampus, where our memory is stored. And only time that, if you look that up in your brain, that is where your memory is. And usually the only three things that really go in there is pain, passion, or purpose. And so when you began to really look at why you want something, it's got to get there first, and you've got to remember. And that's part of preparing yourself, remembering why I want to do this. Why did I want to become a better listener? Because I worked with people, and because it taught me not to be reactive versus I wanted to learn to be more responsive. So to be a better listener, I can't always be ready to respond. I need to be able to give you space to finish what you're saying. And then the process of you actually saying what you're coming out of your mouth, I've learned that your words coming from you, coming into my ears, gives me some cognitive thinking. And usually it's a reactive because I have a response. And when I wanted to be a better listener, I had to relearn how to just be still and tell my brain, you know what, quiet down, sit still. So how did I prepare for that? I start sitting with myself days at a time and just not talk.
That had to have been incredibly difficult.
It was. Because I wasn't just not talking with words. I had to learn how to not talk with my mind. And that was the difficult part. And it started off with maybe one, I would time myself, maybe just 2 minutes, and just really not talk in my sight, my mind, my brain, my thinking, just not talk and just listen. Or even just listen to my thinking and seeing where it's coming from. What is the source of it? Why am I feeling that I need to think that way and feel that way? And that's going to help me become a greater listener to someone else. It's not what people are saying anymore as much as it is how people are feeling. When people speak, they're telling you who they are. And if I am ready to talk more than I am to hear them, I'm not really valuing who they are. So I'm not present. So it's a preparation of learning to be present enough for change. Preparation for change is learning to be present. That was part of my, it was part of how I got to a place where I can begin to really document too, journaling. You know, you gotta like journal your progress. Mm-hmm. Write down, I have a God's jar that, I remember when I first got out of prison 29 years ago, and I was in a halfway house. And in 1992, I think it was, I wanted a job. And I remember writing on a small piece of paper and putting it in this jar. And I said, Lord, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you can, will you help me find a job? And I just put it in the jar. And it was called my God's jar. And it was like, this is what I feel like he will do, and this is what I will do. And so, not to be so spiritual, people think that God is this, I don't know what they think. I've just heard people from my experience is that he's some mysterious being. I think that we talk about how we have the ability to pull things towards us. I believe that. So if I am saying I want something, then I begin to think it and it begins to come into existence. I believe that. And so when I wrote that and put it there, it was my proclamation. And then I had to learn to just wait on it, but I also had to prepare myself for it, meaning I still had to fill out applications. I still had to go to job interviews. I still had to make phone calls. It wasn't just going to happen by osmosis. So I had to put those things in my memory to remind myself, these are the things I must do. If I'm believing for something and preparing for something, I have responsibility. And I believe life itself will then begin to line up with what you desire. That's my belief.
Sounded like it was also a physical exercise for something that you wanted to see manifest in your life.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that exercise of putting those things in your God jar did a lot. I mean, not just the physical exercise of putting it in there, but also like releasing it mentally to God, having something that you could go back to later and say, oh, I remember I prayed for that and I asked God for that. And now look, I have this job and I remember when I prayed for that and I put it in here and trusted him with that.
Exactly. And so that's why even the memory, it helps me to remember. I always tell people, if you look at that word and break it down, remember, that means to put it back together. You remember it. They were members of situations and then you remember it. You put it back together. And so that word has always been, for me, really important, because it's like I am reattaching in my memory what I know to be true. And I've seen the outcome. So when something else I desire, I can use the same principles of preparation for the transition that I want, because I remembered it and how it came out before. And people will talk about, is everything always going to be good? I think everything is good. And let me explain that. I believe that everything that happens in my life has purpose. It doesn't mean that it's not disappointing. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't mean it doesn't let me down. It doesn't mean that I don't have emotional bandwidth to the point that it hurts. I just know that if I wait on it, it's all going to make sense eventually. And how I look at it in the moment, there's nothing wrong with me crying about it, whining about it, fighting about it. You know, I think about the day you said something to me about, you know, the computer. And he was like, you know, oh, how many times are you going to whine about that? You know, and what I'm saying, when you said that to me, you were right. I was whining about something that I could easily just, it was no biggie. So I realized that everything works together, and the outcome in the moment when it's happening, most of us don't see the good of it. We don't see the opportunities that's going to come out of it. The change prepares, you know, the preparation of change prepares us for the outcome of opportunities that we never dreamed of. I would have never dreamed that I'm overseeing, when I asked for that in 1992, I asked for a job. Now, in 2020, I have my own ministry and own, you know, where I have 27 staff and I have over millions of dollars that I oversee. And I am the founder and the VP of an organization that's almost 100 years old. And I wanted a job. And look what God gave me. He gave me purpose. He gave me passion. And he exchanged it for my pain. So, yeah. We just don't see it when it's happening. We don't think about it that way. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it was all easy, because it wasn't. It was difficult valley moments. We live in the valley. We only go to the mountain to get the information to come back and live in the valley. Most of us want to live in on the mountain, though. The mountain is not where you live. It's where you go to prepare your life for the transition of the valley living. Because lives are, that's what life is. It's ups and down. It's pain, it's joy. It's good, it's bad. It all works together. And I'm telling you, it will work together if you let it. You just got to wait on it, and you got to prepare for it, and you got to be willing to go with the transition.
As you talked, I was reminded about someone had once said that all change is stressful, whether it is a good change or a bad change. Somehow, for you as an individual, it is a stressful thing, even if you don't readily acknowledge it. So you can be on the cusp of change and wrestling with, like, oh, this doesn't feel good. Or even when you think it is this really great thing, why am I feeling so, like, struggling with that change and accepting it. So,
yeah. And not only that, change is like giving birth. Yes. And I believe that whether you male, female, you birth something. And so with everything you have to birth, you got to push down and bear. And it's painful. Mm-hmm. And you don't always know the outcome. You can know that it's a girl that you're having if you are pregnant, but you don't know what that girl's going to look like until she gets here. You can know that it's a boy, but you don't know what he is going to look like until he gets here. You can change jobs and know it's an exciting moment. And the stress of it, you don't know what it's going to look like until you get there. So it's not necessarily the thing that you're going after. It's the in-between from where you are to where you're going. It's the middle place that is the most difficult. It's the in-between. It reminds me of an hourglass. If you look at the sand, and it reminds me of the days of our lives. And it talks about, it used to say, you know, the days of our lives is like the hourglass, you know. And so, but when I actually have one on my desk. And when I'm dealing with things, I remind myself to turn it over and let the sand fall through the small, very small area. It's really big at the top. But then as the sand goes through, it's got to go through a very small area. That's what change is like. It's the squeezing to get through to the bottom or to the next thing. And that's what's uncomfortable. Most of us don't like that transition, that preparation. We just want to hop into it without preparing ourselves. And I don't know if you can ever, ever, ever totally prepare yourself for change. I do believe, though, change can prepare you to live better.
Thinking about that God jar, just as an interesting side note, that was packed full when you brought that in and showed that to me. That was incredible to see how many times you did that exercise of putting things into that jar, and then you could pull them back out later and look at them, but it was packed to the top.
I know, I can't fit nothing else in. I had to make a second one and a third one. Because again, I believe whatever you did to get, you know, it almost like dating. Let's go here. You know, you're all excited. You're dating, whether you're dating the same sex or the or different sex, because we all date people, whether we like them or not, or whether we understand who we are, you know, or however you know. But I'm just saying, you get these butterflies in your stomach and, oh, you get so excited. You know what I mean? And you just like, and then you look at this person through these eyes and the way they treated you, and then you marry them. And then they forgot what the heck they did to get you. And it's like, hold up. You need to do that double. And so the God's jar for me was double, because I needed to put more things in there and release more things so I won't be so stressful. Because again, I had to remember that whatever I did to get where I am, I have to do double to keep it and double to grow it. So that's why I was so full. And that was just one jar. I just only bought one jar in. I have about four or five.
Wow.
And then I went to boxes.
Wow.
You know, because I realized it really does matter to go back. Because sometimes you got to learn to encourage yourself. You can't wait on other people all the time to encourage you. So you got to go back to those spaces and that journaling that you've done and how you've journaled your progress. You've got to sit with it sometimes and just begin to look at those small little notes and those pieces of papers or those objects that you put in there and remind yourself, this is difficult as hell right now. This hurts like hell. Feels like I'm never going to, excruciating pain. I'm never going to get through it. I'm going to feel like I'm going crazy. And then you sit with those jars or those boxes or those journals and you remind yourself, this too shall pass. It will not be this way. I wonder all the time, why did God give us 24 hours, or did man put the chronological clock? Because there's Kairos time and there's Kairos time. And so chronological time and spiritual time. And sometimes they kiss. And when they kiss, things happen. And so what I'm saying is that we have, every day is a new day to start something different, to prepare for a new opportunity, to transition. At midnight, the clock starts all the way back over. Have you ever wondered why that is? Well, for me, I realize every day gives me a new day to dream and to become different and to see things from a different perspective and to transition my whole life again. It's like a whole new day has arisen. The sun shines, whether I see it or not, it's still there. And the moon comes, whether I see it or not, it's still there.
It's Sometimes the clouds obscure them, but they still remain.
They still remain.
Yeah.
The sun is still there.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just don't see it.
So what would you want to encourage folks with going into the process of preparing for change, looking at a transition, a change that is actively working in their lives? How could you encourage them in those moments?
I think that a couple of things that I would ask us all to do, not just, you know, and even myself, I don't care how much development I see in myself. I love to learn how to get to a place of rest too. You can't always be working on you. Sometimes you've got to just sit in the moment and rest in the preparation so you can be ready to push. If you know about bearing children, it talks about breathe, push. So there's resting time. So I would just say that, you know, sometimes enjoy where you are as you're on the way to the journey of where you're going. I think that we have to be reminded again that, yeah, change is work. You're always going to be preparing for something. You know, you're going to be preparing dinner. You're going to be preparing your clothes for tomorrow. You know, the Bible talks about take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow takes care of itself and all of his anxieties and worries and all the stuff that goes with it. Just think about right now. Because honestly, Jennifer, all we have is this moment. Mm-hmm. Nothing is promised. So sometimes I think we just need to learn to prepare to just rest as we move forward. That's also part of change.
Yeah, changing from rest.
Yeah.
They talk about working from rest. And I think that could apply the same for change.
Yeah.
Changing from rest.
Exactly. That you will change from rest. You know, that you will. I always talk about the people that I work with. I don't give them leftovers. I give them fresh manna. And what is fresh manna for me? It's what I know that I have become myself. I can't give you what I don't have. And I don't operate from an empty cup. I live off of my saucer. My cup runneth over. Mm. And so I feed people from my cup running over. So whenever I give, like this podcast, I'm giving from the saucer that's under my cup. Because my cup is running over. Because I am constantly doing what's necessary to take care of me. Whether it is taking a day once a week, not even coming out of the house. Staying in my pajamas and just loving it.
Yeah.
I had to learn to do that though. So often we're in this world, it's the external and it's always pulling on us. We have got to be willing to not let this world and all that comes with it pull on who we really are and get more internally and looking at the person in the mirror, because that is this season's whole thing. Changing the person in the mirror, not changing someone outside of you, but looking at what needs to be changed or altered or transitioned or ready for preparation for your life. But changing from rest, resting and then changing, resting, then doing, resting, then work, resting, then going, resting, then moving, resting. Because I don't think we rest enough.
I think if you are an entrepreneur or a very accomplished person, rest is really hard because to rest feels like you're not doing anything constructive, but you really are, right? You're preparing for whatever the next thing is. And it was a great example God gave of working 6 days and resting because It was an example for us because that's a rhythm we really need to be in. And like I said, if you're an accomplished person, that's hard to do because you think this is useless time, or this is time I could be doing X, Y, and Z, or, you know, it's like a free day. And so you have to resist that urge to work on an off day. And I think that's a rhythm you have to like really teach yourself.
Exactly. That's again, preparation. You got to prepare yourself to learn what's best for you. Because what's best for you, Jennifer, is different for me. And knowing that I don't need to compare myself to you. Yeah. What's best for Lucretia is best for Lucretia. And I must do what's best for Lucretia. And what's best for Jennifer is best for Jennifer. And she must do what, and it may be the same, but it's still going to be different. And so your change in how you, some people, you are very creative. So when you have stress, as you asked the question earlier about, you know, change is stressful. Yeah, it is. Because it's unknown. You may go into a place of creating, you know, more than, you know, where I may go into a place of creating, but my creation may just be doing nothing because normally I am such a worker.
Right.
So it may be the opposite, that my stress makes me shut down, where yours may bring you up through your creativity. So you got to find the rhythm in which you operate from to find that place of you, your stress of change as you are going through the preparation stage and the transition.
Yeah, creating for me, if I'm doing an artwork or if I'm writing a piece of music, something like that, it's teaching me mindfulness and everything goes away and it refreshes me in a really, really big way. Because I will express outwardly maybe what's going on inwardly. So,
and see, I'm a thinker. I'm a high thinker. And I have such a high memory. We talked about the hippocampus.
Yeah.
My memory is, you know, is so, I store so much. I don't have to, and I do it because I see in pictures. And so because I see words in pictures, I can remember them. Because I store them in my passion place, because I'm passionate about sight and pictures. And so it goes into my memory and then it stays there. And it can be a blessing and a curse, though. And I've had to learn how to use my memory for the good and not the evil or the bad or the get back or the manipulative tool that I used to. I had to change it because I used to use it to store, because they used to always say, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. Well, I could tell a lie and still remember it. So I had to relearn how to tell the truth, even though lying was naturally, because it was such a, it was a way I protected myself. And I would remember that lie because I had such a great memory. So people would be convinced I was telling them the truth. And I would be convinced after a while, you lie long enough, you start believing the lie yourself.
Right, right.
And so teaching, unlearning that and remembering that truth prevails every time and teaching myself that more and more over the years has been amazing. Again, I shared, I was 5 emotionally and developmentally when I was introduced to change. I was 32 chronologically. And now I'm 60. And I tell people, you add that up, that's about 28. So I'm only 28 years old. And I'm still learning and I'm still changing.
That's so cool. That's so, so cool. But it's so true. I think accepting that and embracing that was probably a big life-changing thing for you. I mean, again, we're talking about change, but just recognizing that, you know, your internal age was not exactly your external age.
Exactly.
And going, okay, so how do I get that internal me to grow and learn and catch up, so to speak? So you're still catching up.
I am. And I'm telling people all the time, it's just amazing some of the aha moments I have. And I think, and I realized what I had thought before was not what was real, or it was real for that moment, but it's not real for this. It's not, I'm a very black and white thinker, absolute, very disciplined, very concrete. And that's good for me. It's how I learn. And yet the world is gray and so are humans. Mm. And so because of that, it helps me to know it's not an either or, it's both. And that has helped me too. So change is not just, you know, movement, it's preparation and transition. It's both.
Very cool. So in closing, what would you want to leave the listeners with regard to preparation for the transition of change?
I think that I would just ask you again to look at your life and see the area that you know is in most need right now of preparing for the transition that you want. It don't have to be major. It could be something small. It could be that, you know, whatever it is, I don't care. You find we all need somewhere in our area to look at ourselves and be more authentic or be more brave or be more courageous or be more confident or be more this or that. Find out what your area is and prepare for that. Find out what you have to do to prepare for that moment so you can make that transition. So I would just encourage us all to always be willing to go into a process of preparation for transition.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Till next time, folks.
You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2020 by Lacrita Bowman.